Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight here on a program we call Establishing Your Faith. Isn't it something? We are already at November the 9th. Can anybody just say, wow?
Wow.
It is already November the 9th.
That is wow.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely. But, you know, I think what we got to realize is that when all of a sudden the world breaks out in a war, that kind of speeds everything up because you're awake every minute looking for that next piece of information. And I just want to encourage every one of you that remember that God keeps Israel. He'll never sleep and he will never slumber. And, you know, you see stuff every single day and you just realize these people, they just don't care. They just don't care. The only thing that makes them happy is complete annihilation of Israel. Yeah. That's just the bottom line. And that's why, you know, you have to hand it to Israel, even though it's really a messed up situation. They're just saying the bottom line, we got to take the head off of this serpent and, you know, deal with the issue. And it's not, I don't know, I'm sure, who wants to be in this level of war? Nobody wants to be in this level of war. What do? When you have dumb people that are determined to be dumb and be stupid and continually stick with dumb and stupid, I don't know. I have a statement, and I haven't read it in a while, from JFK. And let me just see if maybe I can just pull it up. How about we just do that?
Love you, Sunday and Richard. Glad you're here.
We are coming up to the tomorrow will be the birthday for the Marine Corps, and the 11th is the Veterans Day. Remember, Veterans Day is not Memorial Day. Memorial Day is when we honor those who've fallen in battle. Veterans Day is when we thank those who are veterans for their service. And any veteran that you know, make sure you are make sure if you know a veteran, thank them. Call them up. Tell them thank you. Take them out to dinner. my dear friend, partner, if I was in Michigan, I would always take him out to dinner. And I take him out to that one restaurant that gives veterans free lunch.
A lot of them do not.
And so I take him out for lunch.
A lot of them do.
It was so cool. One year, I took him out, and just around the corner from his house there in Rochester Hills, and we were sitting there, and there was a veteran all by himself, and so we spoke to him and talked to him a little bit, and he was cool, you know. So I said to the waitress, I said, "Ma'am, I'd like to buy that guy's lunch." She said, "You're about the fifth person that's tried to buy his lunch." I said, "Really? I said, is there any veterans in here that whose lunch I can buy? She said, I don't think so. Everybody in this place has bought anybody that looks like a veteran's lunch.
That's awesome.
It was really cool to see. Now watch this. This is John F. Kennedy. Inauguration Day, 20 January, 61. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty. Think about this. And all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man came not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. John F. Kennedy said this. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. Born in this country, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose every foe, in order to assure the survival and success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. I think it's very interesting that he makes this statement. Think about this. Man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty. Just think about that.
Yeah,
in 1961, we didn't have to have any poverty left on the earth. Why is there any impoverished nation on the earth? But that a cruel dictator has enslaved the lives of humans and taken the natural resources of that nation and place them all in his own care, in his own hands. And God help us, because just think about the statement. There doesn't have to be any human poverty on this earth. Doesn't have to be. You can give 8 billion people 5 acres apiece and teach them how to plant a garden, and there would be no poverty on the face of this earth. But what is it? Man controlling man. And the man that's controlling another man is bound by the demonic spirit of Baal. I love it. The belief that the rights of man comes not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. All men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And thank God that we live in America. And thank God you and I know what it means to be free. And you know, not every one of you will have a Zoom page like I do and have a ministry and all that. But whatever you find in your life to do, do it with all of your might. Do it. And influence every portion of society that you can influence. I'm so proud of these mothers and fathers who go to their school board meetings and hold up the book. I saw that lady hold up the book the other night, and her man was holding up the book, and he was reading right out of the book that a fifth grader was sent home to read. And it was a large book, probably as large as those two pages, mm-hmm. with full pictures of a man and woman having sex. Not photos, but drawings. And he was just reading. And literally, the chairperson of the school board brought in a person who is probably called the sergeant at arms or something, and the guy took the book away from him. And he's like, "What's your problem? You sent this book home with my kid to read." And he's in the fifth grade. And so I just encourage you, stand up and fight. We are not losing this battle. They're just loudmouths. America is not perverse. The godless Democrats who said we don't want God in our platform, they're the ones that are perverse.
Yeah, amen.
The godless Republicans and the godless independents that say we don't want God in anything, they're the ones that's the perverse ones. And the rest of us believe in one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Wow, Sister Leanne, what'd you put in his coffee? A big shot of faith and the spirit of might. I've been listening to Dr. Summerall now for 2 weeks, and I don't think I'm ever going to stop listening to him, because I love the fact that he understood the spirit of might. And over, when you see him, you start a message, you'll say, "Now, everybody stand up and say hallelujah." And they'll all stand up and say hallelujah. And he's like, "No, say hallelujah." And then they'll say it, and he'll say, "No, hallelujah." And you're like, "Wow, what's this guy's deal?" Because when you do it, you make the enemy mad.
Yeah.
Hallelujah is not a word that's given to any other form, any other organization, any other group of people except the believers. That's our word. And that means glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. So, hallelujah. All right, shout hallelujah. Everybody shout it. Hallelujah! Some of you are afraid to shout that. You know, I've never shouted like that in my whole house. That's probably why you got demons in there chasing you around. Drive them out of the house. Drive them out of your house. Drive the power and the strength of Almighty God into your house, into your workplace, into everywhere you go. In the day that we live, you cannot be timid in the day that we live. You must be bold. And be strong in this day in which we live. And thank you for being that bold and strong with me. Now, let's start. Let's see if we can get started here. I'm fired up already. And I was going to start teaching right at 7 o'clock. But I got on here and I couldn't get Sister Phyllis and Sister Leanne to stop talking. Amen. Here we go. Share the screen. So I'm sure you can tell that tonight we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you will, rise together with me. Hold on. Let it get it where it belongs here. There we go. Rise together with me. Let's make the pledge. Pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, I'd like to have you join with me in a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid the last full measure of devotion, And you know, all of the martyrs and those who today are in horrible bondage, that's very interesting. Now, they don't give a 21-gun salute for that, but Holy Spirit has encouraged me to say that here. And so the moment of silence is in honor of those who have given their life. And on the day of a funeral, their memorial service, they'll have 21 rifle volleys fired in honor of their selfless service. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, sing with me, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, our opening prayer. Pray this with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration.
As your children,
hold on.
The heirs of God.
Let's see. Boldly, through the blood of Jesus, as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, the commanded blessing of unity. God showed me this, man, I don't know, 15 years ago? Has it been that long already? It sure has been that long, hasn't it? Wow. There's a commanded blessing that comes from God when we dwell together in unity. It doesn't say dwell together in perfect assimilation of everybody's brain so everybody thinks the exact same thought at all times and we all look like a bunch of penguins waddling around. No, we unify, we come together in unity in the faith. Here we go. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion.
For there
in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Now that says NKJV up there. And I believe I've changed this several times to say paraphrase because I make it work for the confession. So you can't call it just a straight up NKJV. Here we go.
Yeah.
We have the keys to the kingdom. Same thing with this. Jesus, we proclaim You are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
And whatever
you loose on earth
will be loosed in heaven.
And now, I want you to notice something. We have the keys of the kingdom. It's Matthew 16:16. And when we agree together for victory, it's Matthew 18:18. It's easy to remember. 16:16, 18:18. One is the keys. The other is the point of agreement. Two powerful truths that every believer must have. And then, simple to understand, 16:16 and 18:18. Do you know what 23:23 is? Letting the computer go. 23, Numbers 23:23 is, there's no witchcraft against the covenant. Yeah, see, you got to have a reason for the hope that lies within you. Wait, I wasn't doing that to put Sister Leanne on the spot. I can just see people throwing stuff. Don't be that way to her.
Hi, Gail. Welcome. Hi, Braden. Love you.
Hi, Gail. Hi, Braden. Hi, folks. Here we go. Help me quick. Get me out of this. As Jesus instructs, we agree together for the victory. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I just love it. I love our confessions that we make. Sister Leanne, do you please forgive me for putting you on the spot?
I didn't feel put on the spot. I'm fine.
Just trying to make all the ladies comfortable. Okay, don't pick on our sister like that. Here we go. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. The fivefold ministry. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God blessed the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God,
to a perfect man,
to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I want you to see something. God wants you filled with all of his fullness.
Yeah.
Look at the end of 13. That this whole prayer is that you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are not just random words that Paul felt like he should say once in a letter, and who knows, let's give it a whirl. Maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Well, whenever you put something like that out in front of religious people, they're like, man, who says you can be filled with the fullness of God? So I added the next one, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Ephesians chapter 1 says that you and I, it says that you and I, Ephesians chapter 1, hang on, I don't want to mess it up. I want to say it exactly like it says it. Ephesians chapter 1, who knows what it says? It says it. He put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church. Look at this. Which is his body, the church is his body, the fullness of him. The church is the body, the fullness of Jesus. We're adding that. I just made my mind right there. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. Wow. Never saw it till right now. May the wicked spiritual leaders of Islam be exposed for just that.
Amen.
Speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things. And to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every victim of terrorism, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert justice and have no regard for life. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the nation.
Of the world.
We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. I love it. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now our patriot prayer of dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to this unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advance. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion, we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain.
We
declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now I'm going to stop my share, and Sister Leanne is going to share, and we're going to say a confession that we say normally in the morning sessions. Somewhere here. I'll get to it. Give me just a second here. Huh. Isn't that something?
What's going on?
Oh, we know how to use this. It's just not using like it normally would. But it doesn't matter because we know how to use it. Can I get a amen? We know how to use it from anybody. Amen. Here we go. Now, Father, you told us not to envy or be upset by evildoers. They and their influence will wither and decay like grass under the heat of your justice. We ask you to address the slander and false accusations against President Trump, Speaker Johnson, and Mike Bickle, and Dr. Barkley. Do this also for those who have worked for and with these that stand for your will and ways, Father. Expose the hidden motives of corrupt prosecutors and judges. Dismantle their attacks and remove them from power. Help these men stand strong and cultivate faithfulness and delight themselves in you. As they do so, bring out your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday sun. Establish their steps. We declare over each of them that when he falls, he will not be hurried down, hurled down. Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. You hold them up, even when they make mistakes. Keep them from falling and failing. You say their salvation is from you, Lord. You are their strength in times of trouble, helping them. You said you would rescue them from the wicked when they take refuge in you. Shield them from the attacks, vindicate them, and use them to help restore America. We pray this as well for all the righteous leaders in D.C. who fight for truth and stand for your ways.
We pray
again for the Middle East and the suffering and violence caused by the powers of darkness. Free the people from this influence
and from
the hatred of Jews. Please put innocent throughout the region
and save
many. In closing, we declare once again today that revival is here now. We no longer have to say it's coming. We can say it is here. Give your people boldness to take action and move into this. Stir them. Cause them to stir themselves up in their faith and gifts. We release power, conviction, strength, and life into the nation now. Wind blow, breath come, river flow. We ask for and release these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our decree, we decree that God is sustaining and giving success to the leaders in our nation who stand with him.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Seem to have lost a screen here. I will not lose any screens. There we go. No loss of screens. Welcome to everybody who's joining us on Zoom. We're glad to have you with us. Now I'm in the darkness here. All right. Oh, here it is. No big deal. I'm not lost. I'm not confused. I'm all right. And everything's okay. And I'm almost back where I can see everybody. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about what kind of faith do you have? And let's see. That'll give me the ability to do that. I got to get all my technology working effectively in order to make this work. There we go. Now, oh, it's over here. That's where it is. All right, hold on. I know it's not like you're not holding on. There we go. And we got a good group over with us tonight. Oh, welcome. Everybody over on YouTube, it's good to have you. My goodness sakes alive. I look forward to the day when there'll be 1,000 people over there commenting and it'll be going, who's thread? Oh, I was on Amir's the other day when he was live. And man, the comments moved so fast you couldn't hardly read them.
Yeah, I love that. You can do a good job.
Now, let's see. I'm not making you them. You guys do a good job. Thank you. And if you will, put the verses in as we go through it. Now, tonight is interesting. What kind of faith do you have? I don't think people realize how much Jesus taught on faith. But he taught a lot about faith. But, of course, faith is the center of everything we have. Because according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So I like to say conversely, with faith, it is possible to please him. That's easy enough to say, isn't it? It is. It's very easy to say. Now, write this time down for me about 40 minutes. About 40 minutes, I think, should be the start because I want to put a timestamp in when we get finished. All right. Now, go with me to Luke 18. We were here earlier last week or something. I don't know. I've been so caught up in the war and praying for Israel and praying for the leaders in America and you and all of us. I kind of lost track of all the messages I was preaching. And I would imagine there's quite a few of us pastors that's been that way, because we really are just, my biggest thing is like, well, we woke up today. The rapture didn't happen. All right, we got another day. And you might say, well, Pastor, they've been saying that for years. No, no, it's really true. It's really true. This is really very serious, that the rapture can happen at any moment. The rapture can happen right now tonight while we're right here on this program. And you might say, Pastor, you're saying that to scare us. No, there ain't no reason to be scared at all. All you got to do is be born again. Yeah. Ready? Everybody lift your hands like right now and say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Whether or not I understand you. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash
me with your blood. Make me white as snow. So I can live forever with you. In Jesus' mighty name. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant that from the depths of your heart, whether or not you understand it all, you get to go in the rapture.
Woo!
Don't be on the bottom side of this, standing around going, oh my goodness sakes alive, I missed it. Don't do that. You know what's sad? The saddest day of my life is actually going to happen in heaven. But it won't be sad for long. And Jesus said there's no sorrow in heaven, so I probably won't even happen. But I know there's going to be lots of people that I've preached and worked hard to help them, and they're going to miss the rapture. I mean, think about this. Saul of Tarsus murdered Stephen and many others. It's like Dutch said this morning, can we pray for God to get these terrorists saved and become the greatest apostle? Because that's what Paul was. He would take women and children, drag them out of their house and kill them. That's what Saul of Tarsus was. You ain't no worse than that. And Jesus forgave Saul of Tarsus. How'd you like to be Ananias? Hey, Ananias. Oh, I worship you, Father. You know, Ananias in his morning devotion. I worship you, Father. Thank you. I'm filled with the Spirit. And it's beautiful morning. And he says, hey, Ananias. Yes, sir. I got a job for you. I've heard the apostles talk about this. What do you want me to go do? Some people don't think God talks to them this way, but that's how he talks to you. If you'll build a relationship with him, this is how he talks to him. I need you to go to a street called Straight. Can you imagine, Ananias? Wow, that's pretty serious instructions. Yeah, and when you get there, go to the house of, what was the guy's name? Whatever his name was, I don't know. Anyways, and when you get there, inquire of a man named Saul. And Ananias is like, I worship you, Lord. I worship you. But Ananias was a stupid. And he said, sure. Father, this man has killed a lot of people. Go. Because I want to show him everything he's going to suffer for me. And Ananias, he's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's not a pastor. He's a believer. Ananias went to Saul of Tarsus and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And he was born again. He was filled with the Spirit. Scales fell off his eyes. And immediately began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here we go. Did I tell you where to go? Heaven. go to heaven. Go in the rapture. Man, just don't miss the rapture, please. If you're listening to me, this is not just a cute thing the preachers say. It's not something we preach. It's real. It can literally just be moments away. Moments. Here we go. Chapter 18, verse 1. What kind of faith do you have? Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, and he did not regard man, but he's a judge. You reckon we got any of them on the Supreme Court? Mm-hmm. Right? There was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Every time the adversary disturbs your peace, go to God and say, get justice for me. Every time. Every fiery dart is a disturbance of your peace and holding guilty in the courtroom of heaven. And the judge would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. When you got a wicked earthly judge, if nothing else, wear him out. Wear him out. Verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Say this, put your hands up and just say it. God is avenging me speedily.
God is avenging me speedily.
Now say it in a prayer. God, avenge me speedily.
God, avenge me speedily.
One is a prayer. The other is a declaration. Both are very important in your Christian life. You pray to God. You bring all your petitions to him. By prayer and supplication, let your petitions be made to God. But when you're done with the petition, you open your mouth and make a declaration. I declare God is avenging me speedily. I love it. If my neighbor across the hall, and he wouldn't because Chad's a wonderful man, began to disturb our peace, we would call the cops and say, this man's disturbing us. We had to do it one time on a man who was disturbing our peace here. We actually call it cops. Well, that creates a bad situation for them. But it also creates justice for you. So every time a fiery dart comes at you, that's the enemy disturbing your peace, holding guilty in the courtrooms of heaven. And just say it. Thank you, Father, for Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I stand before you boldly in all the authority that Jesus stands before you in. And I declare the enemy has just disturbed my peace and I hold him guilty. And I make a demand 7 times and double for the shame that he messed up my peace. Pastor, can you do that? If you don't, he's not going to stop. You've got to get the blood of Jesus going. And it's got to be out loud, off your lips, against the enemy, in a forceful statement. Ted, so much he knows, I better not mess with them. I'm gonna get the heel of God right on my head. It's not like he's gonna stop and never give you any trouble. But what happens is you build such supernatural strength on the inside of you that stuff just hits and bounces off as if it wasn't even there. It's like he didn't even know it was there. It's still there. The enemy's going to fight to the end. He's going to fight harder and stronger and longer and louder. But it's because his time is up. There's nothing he can do. Now look at what it says. I'm in verse 8. I tell you that he, notice that he is capitalized, that's speaking of God, that he, I tell you to circle all the capitalized pronouns because that's talking about God. I tell you that he, God, will avenge them speedily. Now look at this statement. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Well, you and I say, I guarantee he's going to find faith on the earth because I'm going to have faith and he's going to find it in me, in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get an amen from anybody? Here we go. Audrey Van Gessel's with us. Bless you, Audrey. Love you.
Hi, Audrey.
Now watch. Let's go now to a whole bunch of verses.
A whole bunch of them.
And I'm just gonna, as my friend Chalmer would say, hit it and get it. Matthew chapter 60. All right, let's try it again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Pastor's got a new translation. It's got 60 chapters in Matthew.
It's the amplified version.
Amplified. Matthew was too strong that day, and he said to Mark and Luke, I'm going to add your books to mine if you guys don't straighten up, all right? Look at this verse. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I've heard a lot of people say, well, Pastor, the level of faith we have is no big deal to Jesus because he loves us all. And he's never going to condemn me for my faith level. Well, no, he's never going to condemn you, but he's not going to leave you there. Jesus doesn't want to have to look at you and say, oh, you of little faith. But there's a whole bunch of people on the earth that have little faith. Why? They've never exercised their faith against a mountain over nothing. And so therefore he has to say to you, you have little faith. Well, Pastor, I don't want little faith. All right. Then do like your pastor does. Speak to every mountain that shows up in your life and command it to be removed and then declare the exceeding abundant above all you can ask or think. Well, Pastor, don't you ever have a down day? Have you ever tried to have a down day? It's really down. And when you get down, you know what's down there? Feet. 30 stinky feet. That's what's down. Hey, I this morning I said it on the program, but I woke up last night and one of those pressure things was trying to happen to me. And I'm like, yeah, it's a stinking fiery dart. Get off my life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me.
Amen.
And I will not be weak. And of course, I'd started my shift, so I couldn't open my Bible and read it. So I did the next best thing you can do. When you can't read your Bible, I went and opened up Read the Word from Pastor Samuel J. Cottle, and I let Read the Word play for about 3 hours. Pastor, isn't that a little weird listening to yourself read the Word? No. I got some serious revelation last night listening to me read the Word. But see, if you get past the human person in front of you and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, a child will be able to teach you. Remember what Proverbs says? Wisdom is crying out in the street. Yeah, amen, Sunday. I look up. Amen. Wisdom is crying in the street. What's it saying? Hey, I'm over here. If you're looking down, you're not going to see it. If you got your ears plugged going, na, 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 I can't hear it. I'm just dumb. I'm just stupid. I don't know. You're not going to hear what wisdom's saying. Don't be one of these people of little faith. Don't be one of them people. Now, that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Now, let's go to verse 31 now. Watch this. Therefore, do not worry, saying. Whenever you worry, you say. Well, Pastor, I've learned not to say anything when I worry. What are you meditating? I asked Sister Leanne yesterday. On this issue in our life, do you in your imagination see us winning and completing it great accomplishment, or do you see us having a major battle? She said winning. I said, I see us in a major battle. Your imagination. You see, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Pastor, I can't even just worry about stuff. Who's got more ability to do something to fix it? You worrying or God moving? Because all worry is the opposite of a faith confession.
And it stems from fear, which gives you wrong thinking anyway.
And it comes from
confusion.
Fear.
Confusion.
Right, and it brings confusion, right? Pastor, I don't have any experience like you with God moving mightily. Are you saved? That's the mightiest God can move is you're born again and you're saved. It's the greatest miracle there is. You were worthy of death. Could help some people right now, but it's also probably going to freak a few out. You did nothing to get saved except receive Jesus. Do you know you can't make yourself white as snow? I don't even know who it is because everybody here seems like they're part of our organization. And so you've already heard this message 100 times, but anything you do in your own strength is called self-righteousness. And it has no righteousness. Righteousness comes from God. The only way you get it is the free gift of righteousness from Jesus. Hallelujah. Say it with me. I will meditate right.
I will meditate right.
I will. Ready? Pray this prayer. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Help me understand Every time my meditation is wrong.
Every time my meditation is wrong.
Every time. Wait, I don't want him to wait 5 minutes. I want him to tell me in 1 second. 1 second. I don't want, you know, I was talking with Dan today on the phone. He's driving his truck and I'm driving mine, and we're talking along, and he said, and well, and you know, and then he said, you know, he got quiet and he's like, I wonder what it was I was going to say, but I am driving and I am safe. He said something like, I am driving and I'm safe. I'm like, so am I. It's all right. It'll come back to us. Why? Because whatever happens in front of you, you better shut all your other stuff off and pay attention to that so that everything comes out right. It's the perfect example, though. You're riding down the road. Let's just sound, driving along, singing a song in my dependable Dodge. Right? And, you know, the sun's shining and the grass is green and the breezes are blowing, and then there's all of a sudden a cow in the road. What happens? All of your wandering thoughts come immediately to brakes. I was driving the other day, middle of the night, on this dirt road, Beaver Creek. It's a good road. And all of a sudden, there was a black Angus bull standing in the middle of the dark night road. He was rather large, probably a good 1,800 pounder large. He was a big old dude. And I was going 35 miles an hour. I sure am glad I believe in angels. Because I didn't get a hair on the truck, but there ain't no way he was moving that fast. See, all of a sudden, all your thoughts focus. And that's what we got to do. And not be a person of little faith, but be a person of great faith. Some of you fight mental warfare. Enemies shooting fiery darts at your mind all the time. Well, just do it. Some of you are going to be like, what? Just do it. Silence! Because as soon as you do that, it shakes up every region around you. They're like, wow, this guy just yelled. Yeah, what did I yell? Silence! What happens? That causes my mind to stop that meditation and be focused on my lips that just yelled. And then get a good summer all going. Or even John Hagee. Glory be to the Lamb of God. See, when you come off with something bold and strong, the enemy doesn't know what to do with bold and strong because he's a loser. He's a liar. He's a fake. You ever have a bully in your life and the moment you get in his face, the guy tucks his tail and runs? There's a bully picking on my sister one time. Everybody was afraid of him. And you ever just have it? You know, I had it to right about there. I just grabbed him and slammed him up against the locker and said, don't ever mess with my sister again. Excuse the bad language for church program. He just about messed his pants. And I don't think he ever spoke to my sister another day of his life. But see, that's what the fiery dart is. It's a bully. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't have any faith. Stop saying that. Start saying, I am a person of great faith. Let's go to the next story. Matthew chapter 8. There is not enough time left. What do I do now? Do I cry? What Pastor say tonight? Do I suck my thumb? We are not the thumb suckers. I'm making a short of that from Dr. Barclay's video tonight. You watch it. It'll be on my Facebook page. Matthew chapter 8. Watch this. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. It's chapter 8, verse 5 down through 13. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. Now, wait a minute. The centurion is the captain of 100 and maybe 1,000, but at least 100 in the Roman military. This is an important person. There was probably two or three centurions assigned every time Jesus had one of his big 20,000 people crusade things happening as he went through the street. He probably had three, maybe four of them guys there, four centurions with all their squads, because that's a lot of people. But he'd been watching Jesus. Look what he said, verse 6. Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Do you know anybody like that? Watch. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus knew who this centurion was. Are you kidding me? The view at the crowd is a whole lot different than the view looking at the preacher. When you're looking out there at the crowd, you can see everything that's happening everywhere. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. All you got to do is just speak. Look at this. For I also am a man under authority. The centurion had studied Jesus so much that he realized Jesus was under the authority of God the Father. Or why else would he say, I also am a man under authority? Watch this. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, just a minute ago in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, oh, you of little faith, you worry about what to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all this stuff will be added to you. And now we have a Roman centurion military man, and Jesus said, I've not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. He's a man, great faith. Such great faith. Jesus is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about it. This isn't the Pharisee. This isn't the Sadducee. This isn't his disciples. This is a Roman centurion. And Jesus just said to everybody following him, I've not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Why? Because that man looked at Jesus and said, I can tell you're under the authority of God the Father, and if you just speak, it'll happen. Do you realize that's how it's supposed to be for us?
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Well, hallelujah! Here, Dr. Summerall's shout a big hallelujah. Some of you should say hallelujah like that. But, you know, warn your family that you're getting ready to shout if there's people just sitting there and they're kind of off in a different zone. You yell, they could spill their coffee or whatever on themselves. And if
you're your own self.
And listen, if you're going to do it and it's going to do it for fun, then turn your YouTube video on so we can all see it, all right? Can I have some more coffee? Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said, go your way. As you have believed, let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, let me tell you something. Every single one of us are going to, at certain times in our life, have great faith. And there's going to be some times when you just have to look and say, Jesus, I just did not have faith in that situation. And you know what's awesome about God our Father and Jesus? Is it's like the Father that said it. Let's go there. I think that is I thought it was Matthew 11, but there it is. Matthew 17. Let's go there. Every one of us from time to time, including me. I mean, last night I was in the same thing. I'm like, well, I got to exercise my faith. And I know this. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. And every bit of this is a lie. So I'm going to baptize myself in the word of God. And I'm going to continually declare and demand, I do not have any sickness, any disease, any process, any problems, and you're not a part of my life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. So that all the rest of it is a fiery dart. It's got to go. It's got to go. Matthew chapter 17. And let's see. It's 14 through 23, through 21. Watch this. So, wait, before I read it, I want to encourage you. I do. I want to encourage you. There's going to be days when you don't have faith, and then there's going to be days when you have great faith. Listen, make all your days of great faith. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you make it sound easy. Well, it took me 3 hours last night, but I won. Was it easy? Yeah, I don't know. I turned on Read the Word, and once I found the one I wanted to do, then I just let it play. So I suppose that's easy. But what it is faith. Faith is an action. And sometimes your action might be, wow, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You're going to see it right now. And this is what I want to say. It doesn't matter where you're at. Jesus respects faith. So what does faith do? Faith looks at that mountain and says, move, mountain, now. Jesus, can you please move the mountain for me? No, he can't. He's already done all his work. It's your responsibility to move the mountain, speak to that mountain like it's the worst plague there ever could be and command it to get out of your way. And then he'll say, good faith. That's great faith. Move, mountain. Move. I've listened to so much of Dr. Summerall that I can just hear the hallelujah. Hallelujah! I love it. We're going to get it, and we're going to put it on tap here. All I got to do is push a button, and we can just have Dr. Summerall shout hallelujah. I'm in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. When they came to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic, and he suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Now, look at when he says faithless and perverse generation, he's talking to all them people in the crowd, and some of them in the crowd is his own disciples. Perverse doesn't mean sexually immoral. It just means to be, you're twisted in your faith. That's why we speak that those verses out of Ephesians chapter 4 all the time. So that you will no longer be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You'll have your feet solid on the ground. If the disciples hadn't woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, wake up, we're perishing, that boat might have gone down and Jesus would have just been sleeping on the water. I mean, he walked on the water. He could have been sleeping on the water with his pillow. I can't get too many stories started because that would be real easy right now. Verse 18, please be encouraged. I'm really bold. And I'm going to get bolder. And I command you to be bold, all the way from Braden to the most elder person we have with us. Be bold. Declare every one of your kids come to God today. Don't put up with anything else besides that. And then get an amen.
Amen.
How about a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
No, some are all hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm really coming to the understanding of why these men do what they do. You know, John Hagee. What's John Hagee's shout? Glory be to the Lamb of God. Think about what he's saying when he says that. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus, who stood in hell as a lamb amongst all those demons and crushed every bit of sin and sickness and disease and laid it there and went and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave and brought it back, nailed the enemy to the cross and said, you don't have any power over me. Don't worry, Sister Leanne brought me another cup of coffee. I'll probably settle down now just a little. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. You know, when you rebuke a demon, you can't do it quietly. Now listen, demon, I'm telling you, you come out right now. Now, who's that girl, that lady on TV does that? She's real calm when she doesn't. Short, skinny thing. I see her and I think sometimes, man, if the wind blew, the lady would fly away. Carolyn Crink or something, her name is.
Oh, Catherine.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, you don't have to go looking. She doesn't ever yell. But you know what? In her voice is, you're coming out right now.
Yeah.
You're coming out right now. But you know why? Because she's done it so often. Her name is known. Catherine Creek. Brother Richard. Thank you. Catherine Creek. So, don't you love social media?
Yeah.
Catherine Creek or Catherine Crick. Yeah, it don't matter. It's just a creek or a crick. It don't matter. See, she's cast out so many demons, she's known. And they know they got to come out. Watch what Jesus did. Verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast this out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Did you notice he doesn't say because you don't have any faith? He said, because of your unbelief. Not creek, crick. Now listen. I always said crick my whole life because we had a crick that ran through our backyard. But the proper terminology is creek. That's too funny. Let's not have a war of words in the comment section. Love you guys. Look at what Jesus said. Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, mountain, from here to there. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind of unbelief does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Some people always thought that was demons. You can't fast and pray. You can't give up food and get a demon to come out. When you fast and pray, you deal with yourself. Today on Giving 15, Dutch Sheets was reading a prayer and some statements from, what's that lady's name, the prophet lady? Anyways, it'll come to us. And the lady was calling everybody to prayer. And telling everybody to a fast from November 10th to December 1st. And I'm thinking, that lady just said to fast during Thanksgiving. Why? Because she sees it that serious. It's that serious of an issue around the world of what's going on and our leaders and what's happening with President Trump and what's happening in Israel and what's happening on our college campuses with all these kids standing up for this wickedness of Hezbollah and Hamas. That's just wrong. Mm-hmm. Jewish people being beaten in the streets of America. That's wrong.
And stamped in their own
home. Right in America. Anyways, she called over Cindy Jacobs. Cindy,
yes.
Not Jacobs. Cindy Jacobs sang Elijah. And her name is Cindy. It's coming. Her name's, well, I can't say her name's not important, but anyways. Here we go. Is it Jacob? No. Prophetess Cindy, see what it puts up. All right. But watch this. What did Jesus say to them? He, you know, in verse 17, he says, faithless and perverse generation. What happened to the disciples? The disciples were the biggest casting out people, demon casting out people in the day. Cindy Jacobs. It's okay. It's all right. I like Cindy Jacobs. Not us. We're okay.
Yeah, we're fine. No worries.
It's just a challenge to see whose internet does the best. All right, here we go. Where was I at? Cindy Jacobs. All right. No, what had happened to the disciples that day is this child fell down and started making noise, screaming, howling, yelling, whatever he was doing. And it caused a major, situation. Now, if you've never seen a demon come out before, sometimes they can manifest and make an absolute serious mess and scream and holler and yell. But it's like Terry Mize said, man, when they start making noise, you know you got it because that's when they're coming out. I guess Andrew Womack said that too. When you're fasting and praying and your body is screaming and your body is paining and your stomach is rolling and you got diarrhea, like that's what you need to know. Fasting is working. Your flesh has got too much control on you. Woo! Somebody give me a Lester Summerall. Hallelujah! Every one of us are going to have days when we're going to be like, all right, I believe, Jesus. Where did this unbelief come from? This morning, I was praying and talking to God and waiting for a load. I was pretty cool. I was sitting on a nice hill, and I could really see the sunset. It was a beautiful place to sit. But I was talking to God, and all of a sudden, I realized I was arguing. And I'm like, Father, who in the world am I arguing with? He said, well, I wouldn't think you'd argue with me. I'm like, shut up, you foul devil. what is every fiery dart designed to do? It's designed to put unbelief inside of you that will overcome your faith. You might be a person of great faith, but the fiery dart will come trying to sow a seed of unbelief that'll bring down your faith. And you just got to say, No. What's your guy's name? Henry Slaughter. Come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us. He's never failed us. Never failed us yet. But see, that fiery dart comes to get a shot of unbelief in there, because the enemy can see your great faith. And if you got faith, then faith overcomes everything. And when you have faith, you please God. And when you please God, you get bold. And when you get bold, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And what the enemy wants you to say is, oh, no, I'm sick this morning. And what's he done? He's got you to say, I'm sick.
Yeah.
Huh? Or you open up your checkbook and you're like, listen, ready for this? And you're saying, there's just not enough money in here. Don't ever make that statement.
Yeah.
Never. If you open up that checkbook and you're like, that needs more money, then make the first words out of your mouth, my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And then just open your Bible right up to Deuteronomy 28 and just start at the top and go to the bottom and just declare it all the way through. You said you'd bless me coming in and going out. You bless me rise up and laying down. You bless me in my labor. Bless me in my leisure. Bless me in the city, in the field, and everything I put my hand to. I really like this. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. That's what God said. Why? Because he wanted to. And if you and I will believe with Abraham our father, then we'll get to be a part of that great nation. I like Dr. Bill Winston's statement. Wish I could find it real quick. But he's got a big, long confession that he says, coupons and dividends, rebates, returns. I mean, he goes through it all. He just names it all. And he's like houses and lands and stocks and bonds and real estate. When the enemy comes at him, he goes for the whole thing. And you know what's interesting? He's got the whole thing.
Got it. Yeah.
He's got it. Because when the enemy comes at him, he goes for everything. That's why I have us regularly go to that Ephesians chapter 3 verse. What is it? God is wanting to do the exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think. But if we aren't asking and we aren't thinking is meditating, and the exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. If you're not in it, then he can't bring it to you. But if you meditate in it and you see yourself prospering and being blessed and being strong and being happy and being powerful, then you're going to be, then your whole system turns into that. And when the enemy shoots a fiery dart, you're like, I'm more than a conqueror. Just get this verse. Would you get this one verse? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in hell lives inside of this mortal body. When you get that revelation, you will use that verse on everything. Why? Because it don't matter. It's like today. Sister Lynn came and picked me up the truck, brought me home, had a wonderful supper cooked up here. And I'm walking up these stairs, and my knee is trying to lock up on me. And I'm like, you lying devil. The same, and you guys, Sister Lynn, we come in the door. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside this mortal body. That's nothing but a fiery dart. There ain't nothing wrong with my leg. And you know what? Don't take one step. Skip one and take two. Just show the devil. Wait, I know where I get. Dr. Roy Hicks is 86 years old. He's standing in his house one day, and this old guy goes by hobbling with a cane. And Dr. Barker said he turned around to his wife and said, I'll be right back, and grabbed his coat and went out and just went right by the old guy, just smoking it. Come back in, and his wife, what was her name, Martha? Roy? Anyways, she said, what did you do that for? He said, because I'm not that old, broken down, hobbled up man. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Dr. Hicks is the one that said he doesn't even get out of bed in the morning until he took communion. He had communion sitting right on his stand every night. He said one time, he said that this flu bug got on him, and I felt I had a fever, and it was on me, and it was on me, and it was on, and I'm rebuking it. And he said, finally, I looked at my Margaret, said, Margaret, make me some chicken noodle soup. And she did, brought it to him. He said, I love this chicken noodle soup. And I have the power of life and death, life in me and in my mouth, and this soup is going to go down and stay down on his stripes. I'm healed. And what? And you know what? He got up immediately with no more symptoms.
Hallelujah.
See, all those symptoms are fiery darts to get you to open your mouth and say the wrong words. That's all it is. So
receive it.
So just learn it, that the enemy's going to fight you from now till Jesus comes. But it won't have the effect it has on you right now, because once you just say, it don't matter. When you send a fiery dart, I get a 100-fold return. Send it at me, you disturb my peace, I charge you guilty in the courtroom of heaven. And every time you send a fiery dart, I'm speaking the blood of Jesus and a verse of scripture. All of a sudden, every time the enemy sends anything your way, you're speaking the blood, the name, the word, the power. And that enemy's going to say, would you guys leave that one alone? Because he's just getting stronger in the blood, stronger in the name, stronger in the Holy Spirit. And it's because we're shooting the fiery darts at him. They probably won't ever stop, but they won't even have any effect, because you'll be so far over into the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and into the word of God. My God is bigger than a demon. Amen. Amen. Now, oh my, look what time it is. What do we do now, love?
Communion.
Oh, no. I'm not done preaching yet. All right, we'll be done here. You know how many more verses I got?
I know.
Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I got 20 more verses to preach. What, do you think I'm just going to quit? All right. I have to read one more to close it up, right? Let's go to Luke 22, 31 through 34. I'll get it out. Camel's out of the can. I'll tell you what, one of the favorite soups that you can buy here in the Bakken is at that one little store over there, man. They got some excellent chili, and they mix that chili with some macaroni and cheese. What do you call it? You call it chili and cheese, chili noodles? What do you call it? What do you call chili and macaroni and cheese mixed together?
Oh, cheeseburger macaroni. Oh, chili cheese.
It doesn't that matter. It's good.
Achievement.
It's good. Luke 22. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. See, that's what's coming. The enemy's trying to sift you to get you to give up. Don't give up. Get bold. Look at verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. If Jesus is praying for us that our faith doesn't fail, I think we can be confident in Jesus' prayers. What do you think? And when you've returned, strengthen your brother. Guys, every one of us are going to find us in ourselves in little faith. It won't ever be no faith because you're born again, and that's some faith. God has given to us a measure of faith, Romans chapter 12. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say the mountain be removed, and it will be. That lady that Jesus called the dog, he said, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. She said, it don't matter about no dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Give me a crumb. And Jesus said, did you hear what that lady said? She said a crumb would be enough to heal her daughter miles away. And Jesus said, about a Syrophoenician, not one of his Jewish brothers, not a believer in the church. Jesus said it about a woman that wasn't even in the kingdom. She wasn't in Jesus' sight because he was called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and she was a Canaanite. And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. What you said is going to happen. Go home. And she went home, and her daughter was healed at the very moment Jesus said it. Why? Because she would not surrender. She was hanging on to her faith. Even Naaman in the Old Testament went to the prophet. The prophet said, the prophet didn't even go see him. The prophet sent out Gehazi and said, Gehazi, go tell him to dip in the... And Naaman was a general of the army. He got angry. If I was going to dip in the river, I'd have done one at home. We got clean rivers. And the little Jewish girl that was one of his servants said, sir, or one of the people around him said, sir, if he'd have told you to do something, wouldn't you have done it? You are still a leper. And for some reason, this great general gets down off his horse and walks out in that river and dips seven times. And not the first time, not the second time, not the third time, not the fourth time, not the fifth time, not the sixth time. But guess what? On the seventh time, when he come up out of that water, he was completely healed of all leprosy. Why? Because he just did what God said to do. So whether you find yourself in great faith or seemingly little faith, take it tonight where you are and take that verse, Romans 8:11 and Romans 5:17. Get those two verses. Do not surrender them. Or you better add Revelation 12:11 to it too. Why? Because you overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of the testimony. You have access to the blood of a lamb because you've received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And he is doing everything inside of you to get out and to get your mouth to open up and give a great big Lester Summerall. Hallelujah. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Dr. George Evans had a good hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, you just don't have that many messages of him you can find. But he had a great hallelujah. And Dr. Evans could say hallelujah in about 5 different dialects. I mean, he was good. It's because he was such a missionary. Just never again be a day of low faith. When you hear anything in you that sounds like low faith, come out bold, screaming. No! And everything around you be like, whoa, what's going on with you? I refuse to be bound down by little faith. I will speak bold faith every single time.
Amen.
You think about Sister Leanne and I and finances, just tell God, God, give Pastor and Leanne millions and billions of dollars to do the work of the ministry. Well, Pastor, do you even know what to do with it? Oh, yeah, man. God gave me a plan last night to take a lot of money, but it was a good plan. I'm going to start speaking it. I'm speaking it. I've never stopped speaking everything he's ever given me to speak. I'm still saying it today. Why? Because till it comes to pass. And God ain't failing. And I'm not going to fail God. He's the author and finisher of the faith, and he lives in me. So therefore, every time I think about it, I'm speaking boldly. Come now. Come now in Jesus' mighty name. I used to say I want a ranch with an oil well on it. I don't know. That's what I always said. I got out here and I'm like, okay, I want a 20,000 acre ranch with 100 oil wells, because I met a guy and he had 100 wells on his property. I'm like, well, that's what I want. Never stopped saying it since then. Pastor, see that hindering spirit, that demonic spirit is the one that's telling you to say, Pastor, you can't say that. That's a demonic spirit speaking. Don't go there. Why can't I have it? If the world has it, why don't we, the church, have it? We ought to have better. The world should be looking at us saying, what in the world are you guys doing? When the queen, when Queen Sheba came to Solomon, yeah, Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she passed out because of what she saw at Solomon's temple. God gave Solomon a, listen to this statement. God gave Solomon $1 billion in today's money to build that temple. Watch. Knowing that in a matter of 800 years, Rome would come in, or whatever it was, 400 years, Rome would come in and destroy it down to nothing and steal its gold. God gave him that $1 billion to build that temple, knowing what was coming down the road. If that don't break off every bit of poverty mentality in your life, my goodness, quit holding on to it. Don't have it. It ain't doing you a lick of good. God wants to take you from zero to wide open if you're just letting.
We're going to build a huge ministry center and force all of you to move out here with us to run it.
All right, and cause... We're not going to force anybody to do anything, okay?
Okay, yeah. Not
we're going to beg of you. We may coerce you, but we will not force you, okay?
Yeah, we don't have the ability.
However, at the ministry center is a large butte that overlooks the city that has many plots for much great land, and you could have a beautiful house overlooking the river and the river bottom and the city, and it would be a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful.
Right amongst
and
a bunch of oil wells.
We would love to have you all with us.
Amen. Does anybody know where we are or what we're doing?
Communion.
Just so everybody knows, I'm done at 9 so I could go get some sleep.
Yes, he did.
I'm close. It's only 8 minutes after, and I got 30-some verses I can read you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Samuel J. Cottle thanks you that on the days when my faith just seems like it's at the bottom, that from somewhere deep within me, the Holy Spirit pulls all of that faith out of me that you gave me the moment I was born again. Thank you that you restore all the years that the locusts have eaten. Father, thank you that you are bringing the desires of the hearts of every person that is here. Bringing the desires of their hearts to them. because you want to see us do the work you've given us to do. Everybody that needs help, I declare be healed. Everybody that needs wealth, I declare be blessed.
Amen.
I declare that even though I drank two cups of coffee, I will go to sleep. And just so you know, Brother Richard, you shouldn't make good jokes right in the middle of a good prayer. I love YouTube and social media because you're typing it when I'm not praying it, but I see it when I'm praying. It's cool. No, don't worry. I've never let a cup of coffee keep me awake ever in my life. And I drink a cup of coffee to stay awake at night. So how do you figure that out? Power of life and death, and it's all in the mind right there. In Jesus' mighty name. Wait, put your hand up and put your hand on mine, and I declare in Jesus' name, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. So what kind of faith do you have? Faith, I like that. Great faith. I like that. What kind of faith do you have? I have bold faith. I like that. Why? Because the righteous, Jesus gave it to us, are as bold as a lion. To me and said, yeah, but yeah, when do you ever face, Pastor? I'll face some serious stuff. What am I trying to do right now? Huh? Oh, share the screen. How's that? Is that better? Oh, my goodness sake, the line just worked. There we go. All right. Now, we receive communion every night, and I encourage you to receive it. Like Dr. Hicks said, don't start a day without it. Why? Because it's his body and it's his blood. His body was broken so you and I could be a part of it. And Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't get to be a part of me. But then he gave it to us in bread in the fruit of the vine. You got to get the sign up that says, just read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 31. Pretty soon I'm just going to assign Sister Leanne to do it. Now this goes lay down. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Here's the process, verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't it just amazing that we get to judge ourselves. And you know what? Then all the people that want to judge you, you just don't give two flying flips what they think. It doesn't matter. I've already judged myself. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world right now today. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear and torment. In Jesus' name, amen. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So tonight, be made perfect in him. If you've never prayed the sinner's prayer, then now's the chance. Pray it with us right now. And pray it every time we come here. And tell your friends. Just tell your friends, I found a church. I found a place where we can come to know who God is. You don't have to go to a building and worry about all them weird people in there. There's a lot of people that's their hang-up is some people at church. And you get here and God will help you get over that. And realize that you're just as weird as they are. And Pastor, you're weird. So are you. You're just as weird as I am. But I don't mind saying I'm weird. Here we go. Pray this from the depths. Thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Think about it. He did it for all of us. But he did it just for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day, surrounding with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. And welcome to the kingdom of God. You did it. That wonderful experience that you're experiencing right now is Almighty God filling your very being with himself. You didn't get a church. You didn't get a religion. You didn't get a denomination. You just found God. You just came back into communion with God. Welcome to the family of God. It says, pause and shout. Hallelujah. Here's the salvation instruction. Oh, just type what I'm trying to type. I did not spell that right.
No, you didn't.
What am I missing? No, I'm still missing something.
An L and an E. We're getting so close.
There we go. Darkness turns to light. Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live in you. Fear turns to faith because he's the author and finisher of your faith. You just got made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you became an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. So amazing. John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, Romans 8:14 through 17, Galatians 2:20. Take a screenshot of it so that you can get it. Now you notice I got some of this is all spaced out. I'm endeavoring to make a Facebook post with different screenshots of this prayer so it could all be in one post and then people could pray right to the prayer. Right on Facebook. And you could take it apart and pray each single part and put it up as a single screen, or you could put them all together in one post, and then it's there, and people will have the prayer to pray. Pretty cool, isn't it? I know. Thank you. It was a Holy Spirit idea. There's my email address and website. Click like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell on everything we do. Now, you might say, Pastor, I don't even know what's going on. Where's the list of do's and don'ts? There's no list of do's and don'ts. Because Jesus just came to live inside of you. And therefore, he's leading you from the inside out, not from the top side down. He's not in heaven trying to get it through your thick skull like your mama said. Am I ever going to get it through your thick skull? Well, number one, she shouldn't have said it that way. She should have looked at you and said, you're the most intelligent son or daughter I have, and you will see the understanding. But what did she call you? She called you a numbskull, thick skull. Forgive her right now. And be free in Jesus' name. So you need a gathering of believers like this. Come and be a part of us every time we're here. We are literally here 7 days a week. Literally 7 days a week. Somewhere doing something, and we want you to be a part of it. Actually, we're here two times a day, and we want you to be a part of it. We pray for the nation, pray for each other, pray for the church, praying for Israel, praying for the war. We're praying for a whole lot of stuff in the morning right now, and Sister Ann does a good job of making it 1 hour and a half of serious. We're going after the devil, kicking butt and kicking names. Crushing heads and taking them. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Since you prayed that prayer of salvation, you now can receive the communion elements with us. I'm doing really good. Just want you to know. Hold your communion elements up and let's make this prayer. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud together. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, and the body of Christ in my community and around the world wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now.
In
Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there's no condemnation in my life.
By your
blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My roads are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive. Fruit of the vine together. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I'm going to sing my, oh, I just did it. Hallelujah. Okay. If I just keep going, I'm going to just keep going. And I'm running out of time to sleep. And I keep getting that look from the other side of the table. And I told her to look at me that way. So. Here we go. Sister Phyllis, we're going to do the Jude verses.
Okay.
I got to go short because otherwise I'm going to be accused of going long.
Well, you know, I memorized Jude the first, even before I memorized John 3:16 when I was 3 years old, honey. So I'll work on it.
You're not helping me, Phyllis. You're taking more time.
Okay, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Amen.
And on some have compassion. making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by them. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present
Amen.
You faultless before the presence of his glory
Amen.
With exceeding joy, to
Amen.
God our Savior, who alone is
Amen.
Wise,
Amen.
And be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. But I'm not stopping there. I am going to read Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. And God bless you.
And somebody shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And now one more set of verses. I declare over every one of you. Now you say this at home. Over everyone in my family.
Over everyone of my
over
family.
Every person that's ever met me.
Over every person that's
over
ever
every
met
person
me.
I should have ever influenced.
Over every person I should have ever influenced.
From my birth to this day.
From my birth to this day.
Have a dream and a vision about God tonight.
Have a dream and a vision about God tonight.
And I will see you in heaven.
And I will see you in heaven.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
All right, you give a Lester Sumner hallelujah, and I'll give a John Hagee glory be to the Lamb of God.
Right? Hallelujah.
Hold on. One, two, three. Glory be to the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
You're getting closer, but you're just still a ways off. All right, I got half a cup of coffee to drink, and then I'll be asleep. I call you blessed. Remember, guys. Remember. Every one of us are going to have days when we feel high in faith. And every day, every one of us is going to have a day when we're like, whoa, not sure why I'm at this latitude. But immediately at that point, come right out bold. The same spirit raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. And your faith will go from whatever it seemed like. You can wake up in this day and just be like, what's going on today? Just because there's so much going on. But you'll key yourself in if you use those verses in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again tomorrow morning for prayer or in the air for the rapture. And I thoroughly expect you to come find me in the rapture. Now do it quick because it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, but hopefully Jesus stays on the cloud. Wouldn't that be cool? If we could all go stand on a cloud with him. Dr. Barclay said when the rapture happens, all of our fat will drip off on the people on earth. I don't think there's any chapter or verse about that, but anyways, yeah. We sure do love you. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Wait, that's not how we end. Remember, we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus
is Lord. Good night.
Amen. Good night, Sister Phyllis. Love you. Good night, Blog Talk Radio. Love you. Dan and Gwen, love you guys. Love the whole world.